Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us today as we talk about the world of finance, helping you make wise choices with your money as you move through life. So whether you are kind of getting started in life, or you're working through your life, or you're coming to a new season of your life,
or you're on the cusp of retirement, which for many people, it's either 3 days or 3 years or 5 years when people really start digging in and concentrating on those retirement years.
Yeah. So both my co-host and myself, we spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And so whether you have advisors that you work with now or not, we want you to consider this another place for valuable information and also for second opinions. So we appreciate we don't appreciate. You would appreciate it more, frankly.
What are you saying?
I was about to say we appreciate those calls, but I'm thinking, particularly on these second opinions.
Oh, on a second opinion, why wouldn't you call? What's the downside? Someone's pitching you something, you don't quite understand it. They tell you how great it is.
Or
they
you're
don't
even
tell
thinking
you
about something.
They don't tell you any of the negative things. They tell you only about all the great parts about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you want to be part of the program, love to take your call on some financial matter. And our contact number to join us is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. And we'd love to take your call on something that you're kind of thinking about, dealing with, whatever. So let's start in Northern California. We're talking with Danny. Danny, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being part of the program. How can we help you?
And I'm going to preface it by my question's about things that suck, like taxes and college tuition.
Okay.
So and I'll let you know.
Is this how you go through 25... life on most areas, Danny? Like, I think I woke up this morning. What in my life really stinks? And I'll call us financial guys and say, these are the areas of the financial life I think suck as well. What do you guys think? So what's
fire away, Danny?
Okay. And something that doesn't suck, retirement. And here's the great news. I still have a good 20, 25 years till my retirement years, and so does my spouse.
Okay.
So we are in our prime money earning years. That's the other good news. And then the bad news is we're not really doing much to save towards our retirement. We're both doing the minimum because we just started late in life. We had kids first, and then we got 2 degrees each. We're still paying on our student loans, but we wanted to teach our kids a lesson in, I don't know what you call it, debt-free, financial freedom. Just don't, buy things outright. So they worked jobs. They own their cars outright. They're college age now. We have one that's 21 at a great school in California. We have another one that's 18. He's graduating. He's going to be going to a UC.
Okay.
We didn't do anything to help them, right? And so here we are, paying cash because we can afford it for for the first child. We don't have the money for the second child. And then here's what the Jobs Act, the Tax and Jobs Act did for us. It's going to make our tax bill for 2018 go up about $5,000 or so because we live in California and have high property tax. And I think,
there's a high percentage of people that,
we can't do much about the taxes, but we'll try to address some of those issues. But let's talk about that college education. So your first child, the 21-year-old is paid is that correct?
Yeah. Between he and us, we are paying cash and he has 1 year left.
Got it. And then you have an 18-year-old who you're going to a UC. Right out of college, one of the things that right out of high school is, quite attractive is to go to the junior colleges, and then you're guaranteed acceptance in the state of California with a decent GPA.
Yeah, but your child got accepted into UC. UC.
So you're talking about how to finance that. So
is the main question here, what do we do about this other child? We would like to be able to do it to help them, but A, we don't want to jeopardize our retirement. B, we don't want to go in debt over it. Is that what this comes down to?
Sort of. I'm going to make it a little more complicated. Okay. I want a strategy that helps me save on taxes and pay for this college at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to be coming out of pocket and paying, because the government doesn't care that I'm paying for two kids in college, they tax me the same.
Well, there are some tax credits, but my guess is your income's over the limits on those based upon.
Oh, yeah. It's like $100,000 ago. I don't qualify.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So what is your income, Danny?
We're like 180.
Yeah, okay. That's the point. Everything gets phased out, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like I have a problem with that much money, but yeah, California, big expensive house. Yeah, yeah, student loans, one in college. Now, the second one in college, we will find a way to pay for it, right? We will, we'll cut the cord. We'll shop at Food for Less, okay? We're going to find a way to pay for our second son. We're not going to, make him... No, sorry, your brother got to go to a university. You're gonna live at home and go to JC's. We're not gonna do that to him. He gets the same opportunity as his brother does. So if I'm paying the money out cash starting this fall anyways, is there a way I can, so late to the game, like a 529 plan? Aren't those tax?
Well, the 529 plan, it's the investment earnings that are tax free. So you'd get no tax benefit on the money you.
And your ramp time isn't long enough that it makes it a viable solution for it. So those are perfect.
That's true. I'd just be putting the money in and pulling it right back.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. You'd invest conservatively because you have a short time frame.
It would be an exercise in frustration. It would save you pennies.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I want to reduce my tax base. And that just means putting more money into my retirement account.
Yep.
That
yep.
certainly doesn't give me cash flow to pay for my son's UC.
How old are you?
42.
So you started with kids young. When did you and your spouse get your advanced degrees?
Oh, throughout those years, I just finished my MBA in 14, and then
a couple years ago.
Got it.
Wait, 1 second. What's the value of the home?
Oh, gosh. Nowadays?
Yeah.
Probably 4.25.
And what do you owe on it?
390-ish.
You know, I got to tell you.
Do you have a fixed rate loan on the house?
I do. Okay. I really like it, though.
Good.
It's got a good effect.
No,
with the MIP on it, it's a really good effective rate. It's like 4%
right.
with the MIP, which falls off eventually.
You know, you're young enough.
What percentage are you putting in your 401ks? You said the minimum.
I do three because my company gives me, the other four, gets me to 4.5.
So here's the reality. 4 years from now, 5 years from now, kids are gone. They're through the school, right?
You're 46 years of age.
High income.
You said you're in your high income earning years. You're going to have to believe me on this. You're not going to start making the most income.
You don't know what his career is.
He just graduated an MBA in 2014.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah.
My guess is, for most people, on a trajectory, it's in their 50s where they make the
50s,
most money.
Yeah.
Right, but I have a career transition I'll be doing I'm no longer, quote-unquote, going to be working for the man once my kids are out of college. I'll be moving over into your neck of the woods doing financial analysis, probably back end, but I'll do clients too. I'll probably get facing people, helping.
So what is your,
management.
It sounds like, I'm just looking at it from the outside, and it sounds like, you and your wife have kind of had a plan from the start. You had kids, you got serious about your education, you've got advanced degrees, you're making good money, you've got a house with a fixed rate mortgage, you're able to pay for your first kid's college, you're figuring out how to pay for your second kid's college.
Everything was going great until Uncle Sam surprised me.
No, it wasn't that big. Look, it wasn't that. It wasn't $5,000.
Is it? You really think it's that high? Have you ran the numbers?
Which seems a little high to me on $180,000 a year in income.
I don't think it is that high.
I'd be if it was $3,500, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. And if you look at $3,500 against a $180,000 income, that's less than a 2% swing. So if you
it's
were
life changing,
if you were cutting it that close, then shame on you. That a 2% swing.
He wasn't cutting it. You just don't like it.
Yeah, there's complete difference between not liking it. And you're free to leave the state of California.
But he's got a child he wants to send to UC, so there's the rub too.
But the child could stay in California and still go to the UC. So I think you should finance these. I would keep the 401k contributions where they're at, and I would make it a priority of financing 100% of the child's education, if that's what you want to do, out of pocket.
And then once you're going to find... I mean, because this is what we see all the time. And you are young enough that your kids, you're still going to be young when your kids are out of college.
Yeah, really young.
And that's the time when many people really tighten the belts. Like, all right, this is a tremendous financial obligation raising the kids. Our kids are now out of college. They've got jobs. They're pretty much self-supported. Maybe we'll help them out around the edges a couple places, but they're pretty much self-supported. Now it's time for us to get serious about saving for retirement. And that's what's going to happen to you.
And you'll be 46. You've got a good 20 years in the workforce. Maybe, you know, if you switch to a different job, you might see your income decrease, but that's a lifestyle choice you're going to make.
Or increase.
Or it may increase, absolutely. So
this is just a feel-good conversation. I think I know.
Well, sometimes we have feel-bad conversations, trust me. There's oftentimes we talk to somebody. And it's
you've got the biggest thing that you should make sure you have is plenty of term life insurance on yourself.
Well, I don't plan on dying.
Well, of course, no one does. No 42-year-old gets...
Well, sometimes.
Okay, all right. But, no, you should have at least...
The wife and I put together a good plan. That just wasn't...
All right, okay. Well, listen, so in my opinion, I would recommend at least $1 million of life insurance on yourself and probably an equivalent amount on your spouse, dependent upon her income.
Well, and we probably each have a tenth of that going for us right now. Well, we just haven't prioritized it.
Yeah, okay. So you're okay. Just pay for the kids' education out of pocket.
What were you hoping from this call?
Just a one-year strategy, like a way to make this, because this is the triple witching year, if you will, with, you know, tax changes, the double kid in college.
Oh, life sounds so horrible for Danny.
Danny, you make $180,000 a year. Your kids are in good health.
I don't know what kids.
You've got an MBA. You have advanced.
Your youngest child got into a UC system. That is, you know, challenging that is this day and age for kids.
You have two kids with it. You have two kids that are healthy that are going to college. You have, both have advanced degrees. You live in a $425,000 home
in Sacramento, which is a nice.
You're like the man with a pork, a ham under his arm, crying hungry. I mean, come on, life's not that bad. Just suck it up, pay for it out of pocket. When they graduate.
Danny, I would not worry about your retirement. You're going to figure out. Yes, you have 1 year. It's like you're going to get double hit with your kids. We don't think your tax bill is going to increase that much. And if you, because the way the tax rates change at the same time, I know what we gave up in California, but don't think it's going to be that bad. And I think we really think you're going to be fine, particularly if you continue to worry about stuff. It's the people that never worry about retirement. The people who come in at 55 or 60
and say, I'm not worried about retirement.
We are worried before we ever see their finances because oftentimes their finances, there's not much there. Those that have been concerned from the start,
normally,
and you guys are going to do well. Your kids are going to get through college.
You'll be all right.
And you're going to say, honey, our life sucks. Our kids are out of college now and we only have $180,000. We have to save for retirement.
Well, and that's probably when we'll talk again. That's a whole new set of quote-unquote problems. I'll say, I have all this extra money,
shape.
You guys.
Danny?
What do I do with it for
you
my
put
retirement?
You put it in your 401k.
Danny,
buy some term life insurance.
Look, the reality
don't worry
is,
about anything.
The reality
else.
Is, you've done great planning, right? You got two kids in college. What a good income. What a blessed man you are, truly. And the fact that you're thinking about these things is smart. But don't worry so much about it. Yeah. I think you're in good shape.
So,
and
appreciate the call.
Yeah, and it's not healthy to worry about things. But those that put the proper attention on their finances and the proper concern with their finances tend to do better than those that have little or no concern about their finances.
Yes.
Right? I mean.
Yes. Yeah. And almost regardless of what the income level is.
Correct.
Because there's plenty of people out there with big hat, no cattle They look like they're high net worth. They act like they're high net worth, but they have nothing.
We see people that have, I'm not exaggerating here, several hundred thousand dollars a year of income with little to no savings.
Or negative.
Or worse.
Or negative.
And you think, how can that be?
And then you see people with modest incomes that have tremendous savings. And the happiness between the two, I can't really tell the difference.
When you interact with them?
When you interact with them, whether they're the people that spend more or happier than the people that spend less, to a level.
I don't know if they're...
To a level.
There's the challenges. You know, it's the challenge is the happy medium. And we've seen thousands of people come through the doors here at Hanson McLean. It's sometimes when you look, when there's a married couple, and for the majority of Americans, they still are married. So let's married couple where one is a spender and one's a saver. Often those are good for each other because the saver doesn't feel comfortable spending. They think they need to continue to save. And the spender is never very good at saving. So they can tend to balance each other out pretty well.
Yeah.
Because life's a journey. And if your only focus is on saving money to hit some number,
I'll show you how.
You'll hit that number. It might not.
You get there and you're like,
now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's reality. All right. If you want to be part of the program.
Right. No one shed a tear for Danny.
1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Denver and talk with Tim. Tim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good afternoon. I'm turning 57 next month. I'm a divorced male, and I want to retire in 5 years at 62. So my main question is, my work provides me a pension where I can take it as an annuity, a lifetime annuity, or as a lump sum. So I'm trying to figure out the better way to take it.
And this will be in 5 years?
That'll be the number in 5 years, approximately.
So
yes.
The problem we have with giving you an answer now is the lump sum, even though they give you a calculation today as to what the lump sum would be valued at today, it will be different in 5 years.
And it may be more, it may be less.
And what typically drives the size of the lump sum is the current interest rate or the interest rate that they're using at that time, as well as a life expectancy table. And both
right.
of those
so three factors go into that formula, right? What Pat just mentioned, interest rate assumption. Two is life expectancy, and they use mortality tables, not your own life expectancy. And the third is what your monthly pension is going to be. So every year you work, your monthly pension goes up, but your life expectancy is getting shorter at the same time. And then the wild card
is the interest rate.
That's the wild card.
So if interest rates go up, if interest rates are extremely high, then your lump sum will be low. If interest rates are very low, then your lump sum will be high.
I understand. So
if you,
I have,
what's that?
So I was just going to say, I have 5 years to make this decision. So all I want is some general opinions. I realize you can't say one way or the other right now, but all things being equal, I just kind of want to have an idea of the direction to go.
So we're not going to be able to answer the question today, 5 years out.
If but you came we can to talk us about it today.
Yeah. If you came to us today and you said,
here's the factors to be considering.
This is my choice. I have $2,000 a month pension, or I could take this $500,000 and I'm age, what did you say, 57. We could calculate what kind of rate of return you would need on that money, the lump sum if it was moved to an IRA. Then we'd ask questions like this. Does it affect any other of your benefits? Does it affect your health insurance? So we have looked at some pension plans that if you take a lump sum, then it affects your health insurance benefit or the Medicare gap coverage that is provided to you in retirement. Second thing we would ask.
Yeah, that's rarer, but it's out there.
It happens. The second thing we would ask is, What are the survivor benefits? Can you name only a spouse and a survivor, or are there other beneficiaries?
He's single.
But he's single, so you probably... The other is, what's your health like, right? Are you...
Bob,
you have
I'm in good health.
Well, you are now. So if your health is good, if your health is good, you are more likely to want to actually take a lump sum than you would a pension, right?
Okay. So a better question to ask closer to at the time. Yeah,
there is no, I couldn't even, if I knew 5 years from now whether you should take a pension or lump sum, it would, it, I would be telling you that I knew what interest rates
were. So here's an example. So we've been in this industry a long time. So I remember back in the day when we could take someone's monthly pension and go out and buy, take a lump sum, buy government bonds.
U.S. government bonds, which are actually more secure than the pension.
And get the same payment on a joint and survivor benefit than someone would on a monthly pension. So it was literally, someone would have to be ignorant and lazy to take a monthly pension in that environment when you could take the lump sum, invest it in government bonds.
Inversely.
And get the same kind of payment. There's also a period of time, 15 years ago, if you listen to the show at all, you hear we rail on annuities all the time. But there was a time when there were some annuities that were mispriced. We could take someone's lump sum, take it to an insurance company. The insurance company would guarantee a monthly payment greater than what the company was. Plus, they had an opportunity to have their principal intact as well.
But there were other points in time where the lump sums were so low that you would always take the pension. And every company's pension plan is different. So back when AT&T and SBC, all the regional Bell operating companies, were different companies, that someone came to my office from Southwestern Bell, SBC, and I said, oh, you take the lump sum. Their friend came from AT&T the very next day, and I said, you take pension.
I remember that back.
And they would fight with me. They said, well, I want the lump sum. My friend took the lump sum. I said, your pension's different than theirs. Every company's pension plan is different. Every municipality's pension plan can be different. So it's
how well it's funded.
More than that, the calculation.
I assure you that there's a great chance that your pension plan is going to be different in 5 years. And how do I know that?
Because
how do I know that? Because
crystal ball.
Right now, 2018, approximately 15% of all Fortune 500 companies offer what's called a defined benefit pension plan. That's what you have. You have what's called a defined benefit pension plan. That means I work a series of years. They take a look at my income.
You sound like you're getting angry with poor Tim here. He's asked a question. You're getting all heated. Now I get a dirty look. Boy, huh? Good thing it's radio.
I was just doing a little.
Yo, Tim. Tim, let me tell you how it is.
I was just doing a little bit of modern day radio where I just get a little angry at everything.
The point you're going on.
My point, though, before I was rudely interrupted.
Modern day radio. You got to get angry.
I got to get angry.
Get a debate with everybody.
Dang it. So approximately 15% of all Fortune 500 companies actually have what are called defined benefit pension plans. If we go back 20 years ago, and remember, Scott and I have been doing this for a long time, long time. If we go back 20 years ago, it was almost 60% of Fortune 500 companies had defined benefit pension plans. So what happens is your company could come in tomorrow and they could convert your defined benefit pension plan to what's called a cash balance plan.
Which they may have already.
Right. And of which you can't do anything about other than get upset or talk about how bad it is for you. But what they can't do is take away benefit that you have already accrued. They cannot do that. But if the day before your pension vests, they make a change and you're an unvested employee, all your hopes and dreams have gone south.
So basically, all you got from us is there's no way to make the determination until you're 5 years out. Here's the takeaway we want you to have, though. This is important. If your company one day announces a change, has all kinds of literature saying what a great thing it is, because that's how they always spin it.
Call us.
Yes. Because there are times we've seen people that had a certain retirement date. Suddenly the company makes this change. When you start reading between the lines, we say, wait a minute, you continue working. This will actually be detrimental to your pension. It will not increase your pension. It'll make it worse. So if there's a change between now and age 62, call us. Otherwise,
and make the
don't worry about
put the maximum contribution. Are you putting money into your company 401k?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and put the maximum in. You almost have to pretend that that defined benefit pension plan isn't there, because what we know is over the last 20 years that 75% of the defined benefit pension plans in large U.S. corporations have gone
away.
And
they might offer to buy this out before your actual retirement.
There was a girl I went to high school with, Allison, who I asked out twice, and she said no both times.
That's understandable.
She sent me an email last year asking a question about her pension plan.
Now asking you out?
No, she didn't ask me out. No. Okay. She asked me about the pension plan. And were offering to buy her pension plan from
her. Thank you. I'm trying to, where's the tie-in here?
Well, I did say to her, do you remember me asking you out twice and you so say no?
I'm not giving you the answer.
And she said, absolutely did not remember any part of that. But I did.
Anyway, we got to take a break here. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Hey, before we go back to the calls here, by the way, if you want to join us, love to take your call at Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll take your call. But we are coming out with a new series of workshops. We had, a lot of people attended those last workshops, hundreds. I forget what the numbers were.
Oh, on the Social Security.
Yeah. A lot of them. But so often, look, Pat and I started in this industry in 1990. We've seen just about every kind of financial scam and financial garbage imaginable.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we tend to see these when people come into our office after they bought something, after they've been sold something. Oftentimes it's too late.
There's very little we can do to help. We try. We can unwind some of the things that people have done.
When you're young and you don't have much money and you make a financial mistake or something happens to you, it's unfortunate. You've got time to recover. When you're facing retirement, now is not the time in your life where you can afford to make these decisions. I mean, bad choices, or be sold something that is detrimental to you. So we have a new series of workshops, new round of workshops. We've titled Retiree Beware. And in this, we cover a variety of different topics of things that people need to be aware of and watch out for.
Yeah, all the scams, the promises.
Not just the scams, but the
promises, the products that are
legal,
but aren't good for you.
There's a lot of financial products that are legal, just like in any other kind of thing. You can go to the grocery store and get a lot of stuff that's not good for you.
And I do.
But when it comes to your finances, it's
because
some of these things you get involved with, you can't get out.
Salami and cheese isn't going to delay my retirement.
No, it might shorten your life expectancy. It might enhance it. It depends. I don't know. It's supposed to be good for you now. I'm confused. Anyway,
but Retiree Beware Workshop. So these are in Sacramento area, the week of April the 29th. In Auburn, Rancho Cordova, Roseville, and Sacramento. And then we also have them in the San Francisco Bay Area the week of May the 6th in Danville, Pleasanton, and Burlingame. And so it's retiree
beware.
And
Denver the week of May 13th.
Yeah, and it's about 75 minutes. I did it with a group a couple of weeks ago. It was well-received.
Yeah, with some clients of Hanson.
Yeah, with clients, yes.
Yeah, because we want our clients to be protected.
So worth your time.
Yeah, so go to our website.
And we'll even throw in a couple cookies and coffee.
HansonMcLean.com for more information and to register for those. So, all right, to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON. If you'd like to be part of the Hanson McLean's Money Matters radio program today and ask us a question, 1-888-2-HANSON. And we are in the Bay Area talking with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, John.
My question is, I have $300,000 in 401ks in different companies because I've worked in several different spots and they've changed names and changed 401s. So anyway, I've got several of these that are managed by different people, and I keep being told that I need to move them into one IRA or move them into one for management purposes. And there's companies trying to, you know, solicit, putting all my stuff together. And I'm just wondering what's the impact on that for my retirement?
Good question.
Well, to retire in like that.
How's a good question? Years. And this is a good question to bring to a show like this, where we're, you know, we're not trying to sell you anything.
How old are you?
I'm 58.
And when do you plan on retiring?
Well, I'm hopefully can retire in 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
Is what my plan is, but I may have to retire earlier depending on how well I stand up to my job.
Got it. So the answer to the question is the people that have been telling you to consolidate it are correct. They're correct. It should all be in one place.
In a perfect world.
Yes. Okay. Why wouldn't you put them all in one place though, Scott?
Well, what I'm saying is, so the advantage to keeping them where, the advantage to where they are, there's two things. One is the costs are low within the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, unless they were very small employers you worked for that had bad plans, presumably the costs are low. Secondly, there's at least some level of screening in the 401k. He's not going to be into some product.
What I said is they all should be in one place, either your existing 401k or an IRA.
Fair enough.
Or an IRA. Or the other.
The challenge, because the downside with your strategy here is our guess is they're not being managed. I mean, if
you don't know what you own.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know what you own. You don't know whether
unless you're going through each 401k, reviewing the options, making sure you've got the right asset allocation. Probably not.
And you're making it more difficult on yourself than you really need to be. So the answer to the question is yes, they should all be either at your existing 401k.
Which you could do, transfer it all in your existing 401k.
Or they should all be in an IRA. Right?
Okay.
So the benefit of your existing 401k, and I can't get too much into this, is that if you separate service prior to age 59 and a half, you've got some liquidity in your portfolio that you wouldn't have when you, if it was in an IRA. I don't know if that's such a big deal because you're 58 now, so you're pretty close to that hurdle.
I'll make 59 and a half.
All right, Scott, do you want to address the ups, the good and bad of IRAs, which is actually the good and bad of our industry that we're in?
So I could certainly make a strong case why it would be a benefit for you to consolidate those and use a fee-based fiduciary firm like a Hanson McLean or another. I don't want to just single out like we're the best ever, but a firm where it's publicly traded securities, where you're just paying a management fee on an ongoing basis, where you're free to leave anytime, where things are transparent, and where you get professional management along with good financial planning. The goal is to work to 5 to 7 years. How do we get to retirement in 5 to 7 years?
How do I take Social Security? What's my income look like? Should I pay off my debt? A real financial plan. Because right now you're asking us about asset allocation and a vehicle, which is one part of a financial plan, but it is not a financial plan.
So it would be in your benefit, we believe, if you were, and we're financial advisors, so we are obviously biased. We think that there's some value that we add. And actually, Vanguard did a study showing that the value that a financial advisor can bring in numerical terms. It was quite a great study. But clearly think there would be a value to you to meet with a quality financial advisor, have this on a fee-based asset management basis, and do the financial planning that should come along with that kind of relationship. The concern we always have when we get the question like you're asking is, we don't know who you would end up working with if it's some financial professional, quote unquote, that may sell you a bad product, may sell you a high-priced annuity, may sell you a non-traded real estate investment trust.
May sell you loaded mutual funds with large commissions, may sell you all kinds of
garbage.
And if
that's the case, we'd prefer you having a bunch of 401ks scattered everywhere.
So in a perfect world, you'd go out and find a good fiduciary that was going to do financial planning because you said, I hope to leave in 5 to 7 years, but it could be sooner. You could work through that. And a good financial advisor would actually tell you, okay, let's plan on 5 years. This is what your retirement will look like. You could retire either comfortably or a little bit uncomfortably in 5 to 7 years, but this is what it looks like. If you're not willing to go out and find a financial advisor that's going to provide that on a fiduciary basis, then leave it all in your existing company's 401k.
Okay.
Those are the only choices. Don't go to the bank and talk to the person sitting in the corner that's going to pitch you on a high-priced product.
Their economic model is not situated well to provide good ongoing financial advice. You don't want someone selling you financial products.
You want to pay for advice. So
who tells you who the financial advisors are that are good or reputable, profitable?
That is a great question, right? So you want to make sure that they're a fiduciary. A fiduciary means that they have to put their interest, and you want them to charge you a fee based upon the assets that you manage.
And you want to be able, you want to make sure that they've credentialed, they're experienced, they're educated, and that you can fire them at any time and take your money with you. I think that's a big deal. You want a relationship where every day that firm has to earn your business.
It's very similar to a relationship that you have with an accountant or an attorney.
You can fire them anytime. You don't want to go into some financial products that you're locked into, which is unfortunately what some people sell.
Yeah.
So and you don't want to work with someone who gets paid a commission on selling you a product. Thanks for calling, John.
Thanks. A client came into, I was talking to one of our advisors in one of our offices, and they said, I'm going to visit these three advisors. And our advisor said, that's great. Let's do a little background search on ourselves and the other two. And showed the client how to go to BrokerCheck and do a background search. And so at the end of the meeting, the client said, okay, I'm going to visit with you and one other one.
One got off the list.
If
you Google BrokerCheck, Now, no one calls themselves brokers anymore, but
it gives a pretty good background.
And even if they're not licensed stockbrokers today, they still have, will still follow through that. So Google BrokerCheck on somebody.
It's the first thing I ever do if I'm curious about another advisor, is I always just go to BrokerCheck. Always.
It's a first screening we do before we hire anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. We are in Modesto, California with Mary. Mary, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes. Hello. How are you two today?
Wonderful. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Yes. My question for you guys is my husband is actually coming into some money with the passing of his grandmother, unfortunately. But he does want to take some of that money and put it into an investment or an account of some type. He keeps on talking about CDs. And so one, just want more information about that. And two, are there any other accounts or investments that will earn interest without having to go up and down with the market?
Yeah. So couple questions. How old is your husband?
27.
And how much money did he inherit?
$70,000.
And how much money is he going to invest?
Probably anywhere from 30 to 40.
Okay. So before we start talking about the investments, let's talk a little bit about separate property.
Mm-hmm.
So in the state of California, in which you reside, if an individual is gifted or inherits money, then it is considered separate property to the marriage, which means that your husband inherited this money. It is his and his alone, unless he decides to commingle that asset with the marital asset, in which case it will be yours and his.
Gotcha.
So that's number one. And you can decide to share that with him or not. That's none of my business. If he was in my office, I would share it with him.
Said it's all the spouses. It should all go to the wife.
No, you don't ever listen to that show. So it's separate property. Why at this age, why is it so important that the assets not go up and down in value?
Well, how old are you?
27.
Oh. I'm 27 as well. Mm-hmm.
So why is it so important?
I don't know why it's so necessarily important to him. He just, he doesn't take risks. He's the type of person that is like, all right, this is what I have. Sure, I could gain more, but I could also lose. So he focuses more on the losing rather, you know, than the winning. I personally, for like my retirement, have an IRA that does go up and down, you know, with the market. And I do believe he's a state employee, and he also has like a 401k with them that does go up and down with the market. So he already has accounts that do that.
Okay.
So he's just wanting other options that don't necessarily rely on the market.
Here's what. Here's what I think you both should do. Put this money in a 1-year CD for right now. Okay. This is what you should do. Not necessarily what you're going to do, but then take some time together and learn something about financial markets. Now, whether that's going through taking a class at a junior college or finding something online, or maybe even it's, hey, we're going to subscribe to 2 podcasts a week, Hanson McLean's Money Matters one and something else. But it, right now, I just think there's a lack of understanding in this area of the of the world for him, frankly. And once he had a better understanding that there are investment options that are going to fluctuate in value, and just because it goes down doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, and it might be the best thing for him to own great companies that produce great products and services that we buy from on a regular basis. I'm looking at my Microsoft tablet right here and my Apple iPhone right here. And et cetera.
And what does he do for a living?
He's a correctional officer.
So he's got a good pension so far.
I mean, ideally, you funnel these into Roth IRAs over the next few years.
That's exactly what you do. And you buy the S&P 500 and you don't worry about it. And you don't worry about it. That's what.
And if it's in a Roth IRA, the contributions could be used for a college education down the road. Assuming you don't have kids yet.
No children.
Yeah. So I agree with Scott. I would just keep it in cash or put it in a CD until,
money came with some responsibility. The responsibility is now, what are we going to do with these dollars?
So,
right?
And he may may never want to take it out of the CD but the only place you're going to find where there is no principal fluctuations.
CDs.
Is CDs and money markets.
CDs.
That's it.
Okay.
That's
and
it.
You're not going to earn much because there's,
and Scott, this
there's
is
no a, such thing as a free lunch in the investment world. So if you want higher than it,
we're preaching to the choir. She gets it. And her husband has his 457 or 401k with the state, and he invests. I hope more aggressively. Maybe you just don't fight this one. Maybe you just let it stay in CDs.
Maybe I just let it go.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then going.
You know what? Pat probably has.
I've been married 32 years. You only fight about certain things.
That's right. Honey, your family's great. They're always welcome over.
I love cooking for them. I love cooking for your family. It's one of my favorite things to do. And doing the dishes afterward. I hate it. I hate cooking for my family.
You know what, though? Pat might have a point. Just put it in 1-year CD and
call today and make sure that you are as aggressive, relatively aggressive in both your defined contribution plans, your 401ks or 403s.
You know, I know you didn't call for marital advice, but one of my dear friends that I've been known since junior high, he's a marriage family therapist, and he always tells me that, Scott, he always says, my wife is not going to change, regardless of what it is. I've been married 26 years, and sometimes I'm like, I think I don't agree with her viewpoint or think she's wrong. And I just think she's not going to change. And the sooner I can get to accept that and kind of surrender to that, then I'm a happy man. I can go on the rest of my
day. Say things like, yes, exactly, honey. That's what I was going
to
do.
So to your point here, Pat, just relatively small inheritance. It's probably a lot of money at 27, but it's relatively small inheritance. Whether it's in CDs or in something else, it's not going to make any difference.
Go to bankrate.com and look up high yield money markets or CDs. Go to bankrate.com. You're going to use an online bank. you're going to get the highest yield there. Do you work for a county or municipality or the state as well?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, he's got a great, I mean, assuming they're not going to change the pensions, but expect that they will, working right. for the state of California,
yeah.
that you want to make the maximum contributions to your 401k.
Appreciate the call, Mary.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys so much. You have a lovely day.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
We have a financial marital counseling show going on here.
Well, you know, in your 20s, early part of a marriage, you're kind of figuring things out.
I was bike riding, and there was a guy right next to me who was about 70, and we were talking, and he's like, yeah, you know, I've been married 40 years, and I said, that's awesome. He goes, three women. Well, that's not the same.
No, not quite. A lot of experience. A lot of marital experience.
All different kinds.
All right. Well, we're going to transition the program right now to talk real advice. And this is the time on Hans McLean's Money Matters, where we have one of our financial advisors join us and share with us a client experience, real life client experience that they had dealt with and what their advice was and their recommendation. Just kind of give you a flavor of some problem solving that a good financial advisor will do. And hopefully if you have a financial advisor, hopefully this is the kind of problem solving that your advisor does for you as well. Keep in mind that the experience that this particular client had is unique to them, and you may have a different experience at hand.
Probably better, but could be worse.
So Dave Cox is joining
That's
us.
That's a legal disclaimer, by the way.
Dave Cox is joining us today. Dave's been with us for 22 years, works out of our Folsom office. He's a certified financial planner as well as a certified fund specialist, and he's been on the radio program for a number of times over the years on Hans McLean's Money Matters, and a great advisor. And his clients all seem to really love him.
They do. So, I have a number of my neighbors are actually clients of Dave Cox and Hans McLean. They speak very, very highly of him.
Speaks highly of Dave, except for the ones that fire him. I'm just kidding.
So Dave,
welcome to Hans McLean.
Turn that charm
Thanks,
on,
guys.
Dave.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure to be here.
What's the? Tell us about the situation you encountered.
So this is kind of a recent story. Last year, had somebody moving into transitioning into retirement, and he turned 70 last year in March, and high income earner, between bonuses and income, and he retired around September of last year, and so high income earner, he put all of his income together for the calendar year of 2017, and we were projecting that he was going to be in the 33% Fed tax bracket. But the issue became with him turning 70 in March that we were going to have to take required minimum distributions out of his IRA.
Yeah, so he was working through age 70, then retiring. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. So you know, we're required to take distributions out of his IRA, and he has a sizable IRA. Had about $1.5 million sitting inside of his IRA. So the rule states, you know, if we go to take income out of an IRA at 70 or 70 and a half, the rule states that you have to take it April 1st following the year that you turn 70 and a half. Now, most of the time in a situation with a client, depending on their overall income, we'll take it in the year they actually turn 70 and a half, because if we wait till April, we've got to take two. So we've got to take one by April 1st, and then we've got to take one by December 31st. Well, in their case, when we looked at their overall situation, they're getting, you know, this huge income for 2017. It absolutely made sense to push off his RMD for April 1st of this year. And the RMD was pretty sizable. You know, it was $51,000, $52,000. But by doing so, he's now moved into 2018. He's now in a lower income tax bracket. They don't need $300,000 of income for retirement. They actually only need about $100,000. And, you know, they've got Social Security. They got a small pension. So it made sense for us to push this off and actually take two distributions. And we're going to take the second one by the end of the year. We haven't taken it yet. We've already taken the first one we'll take the second one, and both of those distributions will add up to about 110K. But just by doing this, by implementing this, and also, as you know, with new tax reform, we're able now to have all of this income, all income included now, push him from a 33% federal bracket down to about a 22% federal bracket. Yeah. So
saved him about 11 grand.
Yeah. Just by
about 11%. Yeah. It was an 11% swing on that $100,000.
Yeah. And had he stayed employed, you could have rolled the IRAs back into a 401k and not had an RMD at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I suppose,
absolutely.
Yes.
Right? But it was he was ready.
But he was ready. And the reason I point that out is that had he stayed employed, you would have counseled him to roll the IRAs back into a 401k.
Maybe, or looked at the whole situation.
And understood the tax code in order to
doesn't
keep him in a loan. Doesn't always,
yeah,
but
I
sometimes.
There's no question. I mean, no question that would be an option that we would look at in that particular case. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense in this.
Yeah.
One,
so nice
thank
work,
you.
David.
Yes. Thanks, Dave.
Nice.
And I will tell you, there was one more thing that really came out of this also, is they were doing some charitable giving here in, you know, well, every year. And you know, they don't have any debt. They're in a standard deduction scenario. And so with tax reform taking place, and they were doing some charitable giving already, we're actually going to be able to use some of his IRA IRA withdrawals for this second withdrawal that's coming out.
And have
we're
it
actually going to take
have it go directly,
go directly
to charity.
To the charity. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and stays off the tax return.
By doing so, we're actually going to be able to keep him, again, in that 22% bracket because of some of his other income. He could actually float up into the 24, but by implementing this coming directly out of the IRA, we're able to keep him in that 22% bracket again.
Awesome, Dave.
Perfect, perfect.
Thank
Using
you.
Using the tax code to the client's advantage.
Yeah, appreciate you sharing that, Dave. Thanks for being part of Hanson McLean. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We come here each weekend on the same time. Or you can get a podcast of this program by going to HansonMcLean.com and subscribing to our podcast. And also, when you're on our website, we've got some great articles on our blog there on a number of different things there. So we really are learning library there is chock full of some great stuff. I've got an article on CNBC that we have posted there about leaving California for lower tax states, etc. But anyway, it's been a pleasure being with you, and we'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.